God bless you. I'd like to share with you some things about forgiveness. Forgiveness is twofold. One, forgiving others. And two, forgiving ourselves. To forgive means to pardon, excuse, absolve. Like in a court of law, all charges are dropped. You are free to go. It means to let go, to allow, not to hinder, to hold, not hold against anymore, like forgiving a debt, to go away or move forward and leave something behind. God's perspective on forgiveness is in Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's forgiveness. Let me show you other ways that this word is translated. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, when Jesus asked Peter and Andrew to follow him, that he would make them fishers of men, verse 20 reads, "And they straightway left their nets and followed him." That word left is the same word translated forgive. They moved forward and left something behind, their nets. Matthew 8, verse 15, Peter's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and it says, Jesus touched her hand and the fever left her. That's the same word, left her. I want to show you an example in the Old Testament that really exemplifies forgiveness. And I want to show you this in some detail because you need to see the scope of it to see the greatness of this forgiveness that Joseph exemplified in his life. In Genesis chapter 37, we'll start in verse 3. Now, Jacob, also called Israel, he loved Rachel, and he had two sons with Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. He also had 10 sons with Leah, but Rachel was the one that he really loved. And in Genesis 37, verse 3, it reads, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, and shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." Verse 14, his brothers were out feeding the flock, and his father, Israel, says, "And he said unto him, Joseph, Go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Verse 18, and when they saw him afar off, his brothers, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben, his oldest brother, heard it, and delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto him, Shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he may rid him out of their hands, and deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph unto Egypt. So then they decided in verse 31, they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it, and he said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." And Jacob, his father, rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for him many days. This is an expression of great grief. And all his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down unto the grave, unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Well, you can only imagine. He thought his son had died. No matter. No wonder he was mourning. And chapter 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands. What a great testimony to the life of Joseph, that he was a prosperous man, and that they saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hands. And he knew not aught that he had save the bread which he did eat, and Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Look at that. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And God can bless and does bless our places of employment for our sake, because we stand for God in that place. Verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." Oh, this is not good. Verse 10, and it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, and he hearkened not unto her to lie with her, nor to be with her. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men in the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called the men of her house and spake unto them, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. And he came into me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." Well, she was lying. She lied. And she got him in trouble. He got him thrown into prison. And verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him, he's in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. What a great man. Well, while he was in prison, he was there with the chief butler and the chief baker. They were in prison too. They had dreams, and Joseph interpreted the dreams. Verse 13 is the interpretation for the butler. Yet within 3 days, verse 13, shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. So you're going to be restored to your butlership. Verse 14, but think on me when it shall be well with thee. So don't forget me and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Well, it took him 2 years to remember. And after 2 years, Pharaoh had a dream. And in verse 9 of chapter 41, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. So he remembered, and he explained to him that when he was in prison, he had this dream, and there was this man named Joseph that interpreted the dream. So Pharaoh called, verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph and brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. He cleaned himself up. He followed the protocol of the culture. He shaved, he changed his clothes, and he came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. What humbleness of mind. He didn't take credit for it. He said, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Well, the interpretation of the dream, verse 29, behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. So that was the interpretation of the dream. And what to do about it, verse 33, now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Verse 38, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such an one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Well, Joseph's right there. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. So Joseph is now second in command. Verse 56. So after there were 7 years of plenty and they put up all these things in the storehouse, then come the famine in verse 56. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came unto Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. Chapter 42, verse 1. Now when Jacob, Joseph's father, saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there's corn in Egypt. Get ye down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. He couldn't stand losing another son, the one, you know, his two that he had by Rachel. Verse 5, and the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but he made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. So he knew them, but they didn't know, recognize him. So he gives them food. He asks them, do you have another brother? And I want you to, next time you come back, you need to bring your brother, but leave one of your brothers here with me. So they left Simeon there with him. And in chapter 43, and the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father sent it to them, go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you, Benjamin. But we're going to have to take Benjamin with us. He said that we got to bring him down there. At verse 29. So he ends up saying, okay, take Benjamin. And then when he sees him, when Joseph sees his brother, chapter 43, verse 29, and he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, Is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. He couldn't show himself unto them yet. It wasn't the right time yet. And he went into his chamber and wept there. And then he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, Set on bread. So he gave him some food. They ate together. And then they went home, or they headed toward home. And then when they came back, chapter 45, verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood with him. And he cried, Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. So he sent everybody else out of the room except for his brothers. And then he made himself known unto his brethren. And verse 2, and he wept out loud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. That's how intense it was. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. They didn't realize that's who it was. And you can imagine what was going through their minds. They're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, look who this man is. This is our brother. And we know that we were the ones that did this horrible thing to him. And it just the emotion of this whole thing is amazing. And verse 4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. How tender. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, because he knew that they would be, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Wow. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earning nor harvest. We're going to have 5 more years of famine. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith my son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt, and come down unto me, tarry not, like hurry up, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast, and there will I nourish thee. How wonderful, how tender, how forgiving, and very kind. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy households and all thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see in the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. They just sat down and talked. Well, I'm going to show you at the end of Genesis chapter 50, verse 15. His father died. He went to bury him. And when Joseph's brethren, were in Genesis 50, verse 15, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servant. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Look at that. Man, God meant it for good, to save much people alive. Verse 21, Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. He expressed and showed great forgiveness. What mercy and kindness and forgiveness. It makes me think of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, it's easier to forgive when we remember what God has forgiven us for. It says that we're to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And that word forgiving means to extend grace. And that's what we do. We extend that grace. You know, if people hurt us once, we don't have to let them do it again and again by not forgiving them, by continuing to bring it back up in our minds. We forgive also for our sake so that it doesn't become a root of bitterness, so that it doesn't fester and we just keep thinking about it and we get more angry. If forgiveness was like a physical thing, like say a brick, and say I pick up a brick and this represents something that happened 10 years ago where someone did something wrong toward me, and it eats me up. I just can't forgive this person. And so I'm holding on to this brick. And then I have another brick that represents something that happened about 5 years ago where I know I blew it. And I just feel bad. And I just can't forgive myself for that. And then another brick represents something that happened 2 years ago where somebody really hurt me by something that they did. And then I have another brick that represents something else. And then you have all these bricks and then you're so weighted down and you can't hardly even move. But then maybe I should let one of these go. Maybe I can let go that thing that happened 10 years ago. I'm just going to let it go. And I'm going to move forward. I got this other one where I couldn't forgive myself. Well, you know what? I remember that God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven me. So I'm going to forgive myself. I'm going to let go of that brick. And then I'm going to let go of this one. And I'm going to let go of this one. And before you know it, you're not burdened down. You can move freely. You are lighter. And when we forgive, we just let it go. We allow it not to hinder us. We go away and we leave it behind, just like Joseph did. Can you imagine what it was like for him when he was in prison? The austere circumstances that he had to deal with being in that prison. And he could have sat there and thought, my goodness, my brothers, it's because of them that I'm here. It's because of them that I'm even in this situation. I can't forgive them. I can't believe they did this to me. And he's just festering and getting angry and just having all that bitterness. And what does that do to him physically? What does that do to him? He must have let it go sooner than that, because he was able to really move freely. And how the Lord was with him and how God caused everything that he did to prosper because he let it go. He didn't carry that burden. He wasn't weighted down by unforgiveness. We want to forgive others. We want to be able to move freely, just like Joseph did, and he was able to save whole nations. And we forgive ourselves, we forgive others, we leave it behind, and we move forward, and that is the greatness of forgiveness.